two court rulings on Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency came down on different sides of the debate over whether Doge should have access to personal data held by the federal government.
A federal judge ruled that Doge couldn't have access to personally identifiable Social Security Administration data and would have to purge all non-anonymized data that they'd accessed prior to that ruling.
And an appeals court allowed Doge to have access to sensitive data at the Treasury Department, the Education Department, and the Office of Personnel Management.
That's a departure from long-established protocols for who can access this kind of data and when they can do it.
A Wisconsin cybersecurity professional joins us now for a look at Doge and data and what's at stake for Americans.
Chad Johnson is an assistant professor of computing and new media technologies and principal faculty member of the undergraduate and graduate cybersecurity programs at UW-Stevens Point. He's director there of the Digital Forensics Lab. Chad, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I want to start big picture. We keep getting this drumbeat of information in lawsuits, public disclosures, things like that, about what kind of things this Doge group is accessing. Big picture, based on what you're able to see, how much of a concern is this for you as a cybersecurity professional, the kind of access transparency we're seeing here?
I don't have any special insight into the agenda or processes that are being utilized here in this situation. But from my perspective, as an outsider looking in and with my industry experience, I'm not seeing signs of a lot of best practices being followed.
Right. If you were consulted by a group that was going to, say, audit the computer operations of, I don't know, an IRS or a Social Security Administration or what have you, what would those best practices look like from the start?
What we would normally be seeing if we were seeing the audit being done in accordance with best practices is a little bit more transparency. There's typically no problem. And as a matter of fact, most frameworks will encourage doing things like publishing methodology and updates, milestones, and so on, just outlining the process and the progress of the audit as it goes. And I don't think we're seeing a lot of that right now. It seems like a lot of what is actually being done is not being shared with the public. What we're seeing are the purported results of the efficiency finding measures, but nothing on the actual process itself.
And we've seen, as I mentioned, lawsuits, and they've gone back and forth as they've moved up from one court to another. The Social Security Administration, we had a block on access to some data, then a requirement of anonymized only data, and then arguments over, well, is there read-only access versus can somebody actually change files? Can you sort out from us what these different kinds of access to big, important files might mean?
Well, it, again, depends on exactly what the agenda is, because there's a lot of different ways to interpret from the outside what they could be attempting to achieve with the access that they've been able to gain. I will say that read-only access is typically going to be sufficient for a number of objectives that there could possibly be. And, you know, read-only access is essentially access to the information. Doesn't allow you to change it, but it does allow you to view it. And information is power. That alone is a significant amount of potential influence, you know, that could be gained if information were viewed or copied or anything in that fashion. Certainly being able to delete or modify data, which would be additional permissions to that sort of, you know, those data repositories, that would obviously be a concern. We certainly don't want any of the important information that they're accessing to simply be deleted. I mean, it would be like achieving efficiency by removing the brakes on your car. You know, it's more fuel efficient, but you're going to have another bigger problem in that case. So I would say certainly if we were to see something like that, that would be a major concern. But personally, and as an expert in the field, I'd say read-only access in this situation is plenty of concern for me.
We're talking about cybersecurity and Doge's efforts in the federal government. Chad Johnson is with us, assistant professor at UW-Stevens Point in computing and new media technologies, also director there of the Digital Forensics Lab. Given all the data that the federal government has all the data points that might be collected by the IRS, the Social Security Administration, the Department of Education, Small Business Administration. The list goes on and on. How bad would it be if that information were mishandled, went into the wrong hands, whether that's a corporation that wants to use them for their own purposes, a government leader that wants to misuse them, a foreign government? How big a treasure trove of information are we talking about here?
Well, this question is difficult to answer because the last thing I want to do is contribute to any any panic that there may be out there. That said, I do think that concern is warranted. So the amount of information that we're talking about here it's unprecedented. The closest breach that I can offer would be the Equifax breach from 2017. And that was essentially a record on most adult American citizens. I mean, anybody that had a record with Equifax at the time as a credit reporting bureau had at least some of their information taken. And that information was largely what we call PII, or personally identifiable information, which means that it was a lot of demographic information, name, phone number, address, work history, some financial information, but mostly what would be considered directory information or non-sensitive information. That information alone is significant in terms of a data breach. I mean, what happened with Equifax was without a doubt devastating. And we do believe that that was conducted by foreign actors that specifically wanted to get information about American citizens. So I suppose if you consider things from an attacker perspective, an advanced persistent threat, some state actor out there, why would they be interested in simple PII on American citizens? I mean, they too wouldn't have destroyed or altered any of that information. They simply copied it. They had read access essentially as well. Well, the answer is that information isn't useful in, for example, organized crime. It could possibly facilitate identity theft. But for the most part, we're talking about nation state espionage here. They want information on American citizens because it is useful to them in their national objectives. If the systems that we're seeing, if the information that DOJ is accessing, if any of that were to be leaked or lost in any fashion, I mean, it would be devastating. And honestly, these systems as they are now at the actual agencies, they are under a lot of cybersecurity purviews. There's a number of acts in FISMA and best practices that are implemented in order to protect them. And we have no indication that DOJ is following any of those at all. So they're probably a lot softer targets now than they were before, all things considered. So I would say there's a significant danger here. I would say that that in terms of our cybersecurity adversaries, the state actors that happen to be out there, I don't think they've ever had it so good.
Chad, an interesting thing about all this federal government data is a lot of systems, apparently, as I understand it, don't talk to each other, right? The Social Security has their stuff, the IRS has their stuff, and they haven't been sharing across. I've filled out FAFSAs for my kids, Department of Education. Well, you can fill in your IRS data, but you need to give special approval to do that. The argument from DOJ is we're going to bring these systems together. It's going to help us efficiently catch fraud, right? And maybe illegal immigration, things like that. The counter argument is, hang on, that system is not a bug. It's a feature. It's a way to help protect our privacy. That's something we want to do on purpose. What do you make of those two different philosophies of should all these different government data troves be in touch with each other?
The pursuit of efficiency and cost cutting, of saving tax dollars, as admirable as that is, does that outweigh the need for security that happens to be here? There's an expression that I think we're butting up against here called the Chesterton fence. The idea is that I think a farmer buys a new plot of land, and as they're surveying it, they see that in the middle of the field there's this barbed wire fence. They look around and there's nothing around, but they know that it would be just so much more efficient if they were to take the fence down, and then that way they don't need to travel around and go through the gate or work around the fence, essentially. So they remove it, and then a couple of seasons later, they find out that the fence existed for a reason, and now they have a problem with cattle getting loose on their land. it's a Chesterton fence, a defensive strategy that is implemented, but the reason for it is no longer known. It's tribal knowledge that's gone, and somebody comes along and doesn't recognize its purpose, but says, hey, this is inconvenient, and so does away with it and then finds out the hard way why it was implemented to begin with. I think that's what we're dealing with here because, the separation of these systems, it's separate for a reason. Yes, it is partly to protect our privacy and to make them easier to secure. Typically, having all of your eggs in one basket is a bad defensive strategy to begin with. But it's also designed to separate things out to make things harder for attackers. They may infiltrate one system and they'll get some information, but they don't have enough information from one attack to see the entire picture. Ironically enough, it seems to me that one of the things that may be attempted here is exactly that, as in consolidating all of this information may indeed be the plan, because having all of that information in one place does allow you to do things with it that we can't currently do, which could be argued to be efficient, I suppose, in some fashion. I mean, for example, now we have data systems that work with huge data sets in order to make all kinds of inferences. They require large data sets in order to make accurate inferences and in order to make use of the data in different ways. I think that might be the plan here. So yes, efficiency, but efficiency at the cost of security. And therein lies the problem, because what we're talking about here are competing interests, directly competing interests. They are mutually exclusive, unfortunately, in this case. But one of those interests is foundational, and one of them is aspirational. We can't have efficiency unless we are secure. We don't have anything if we can't maintain security. It's the absolute most basic principle of a nation state that we are able to protect our assets. So I don't really see it as a trade-off. It's a sacrifice, if anything else. I think that there are efficiencies to be made, and I think that there are ways to do it, but I see very little evidence that we're going about it the right way.
As someone who's teaching cybersecurity professionals of the future, are you bringing the daily news into your classroom? Are you looking at possible teachable moments that we're seeing in our national news?
I certainly am. It's really hard to avoid, obviously. It's a huge issue. I see this as a real threat to the industry as it currently stands. And from my perspective anyway, it's a pretty fragile industry. I mean, think about what things were like in terms of cybersecurity just 20 years ago. It was a very different place, back then, and we were a lot more vulnerable than we are now. I don't really feel like we are in a strong position in terms of our national posture in cybersecurity right now, but I feel like we're a lot better off and we're headed in a good direction. And I feel like there's been a major interruption. And for my students, for example, this semester, I'm teaching risk analysis and security assessments. And one of the things we're talking about is access control and the process of identity proofing and vetting and gaining access, maintaining entitlements and that sort of thing. And a lot of what I'm saying, it's clear that it's just not being followed right now in our current federal government, the current administration. Both in terms of what DOGE is doing and in other areas, it's really underscored the lack of care, I think, the lack of due diligence in the security mechanisms that were in place.
Chad, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Chad Johnson, Assistant Professor of Computing and New Media Technologies at UW-Stevens Point, cybersecurity expert there. He talked to us about security and privacy issues with Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Do you have more questions maybe that conversation raised that you'd like to hear answered? Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.